This encore broadcast of Mom Talk Radio originally aired October 11th, 2015.
Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
Well, here we are in the middle of October. I'm sure your children have changed their minds as to the costume that they're going to wear at least two or three times now. And you're into the third bag of candy corns. If you're like me, you've tried every new flavor they have this season at Target or Walmart. I got to tell you, the one flavor that I have recently tried, actually two that I recently tried, the peanut pecan pie M&Ms. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And the other one that didn't work for me was the peanut butter candy corn. Somehow it just, again, didn't work for me. So those two bags have gone uneaten and are slowly making their way to the trash can because I can't even figure out a recipe on Pinterest to make with those two concoctions. Anyways, it's the middle of October. In just a couple days, we're going to have the first Democratic debate. This is a really good time to teach your children about politics. Now, you might think I'm crazy to have your children sit down and watch CNN with you and watch the Democratic debate, but it does teach your children a lot about economics and civics and how to be polite or rude. There's a lot you can learn by watching the debate together. And the best thing is that you're there as a commentator and guiding your children in the right direction. So the 13th, good day to watch the debate with your kids and try to teach them about what is good and what is bad when it comes to politics. So the other thing that's happening is that Pre-Mama has come out with some new nutrition for you and your baby, whether you're in the fertility stage or you're in infertility stage or you're in prenatal stage. Pre-Mama, the sponsor of Mom Talk Radio, has you covered, and you can find Pre-Mama at your local CVS pharmacy. Look for it there on the on both the aisle for baby items and for women's health, because there you'll find Drink Pre-Mama, and we're just happy they bring you Mom Talk Radio every week. Speaking of new things happening this fall, the new lineup of shows are on. And if I wasn't studying all the time, I certainly would be able to watch some of them. But I heard some of the new shows on NBC are fantastic. And I'd love to hear from you. What do you recommend for kids to watch? What are the new shows, or what are those little privileges that you give yourself where you have a little downtime and you watch? Text me or tweet me at Mom Talk Radio and share them with me. When we return on today's show, we have a really great guest. Emily Freeman, the author of Simply Tuesday, is going to be joining us.
This encore broadcast of Mom Talk Radio originally aired October 11th, 2015.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
We are delighted to have with us today on Mom Talk Radio a mother of three who has found time not only to parent three children, but to write a book. She's the author of Simply Tuesday, Grace for the Good Girl, Grateful, and a million Little Things. She also blogs at Chatting at the Sky and Hope, and contributes to many other blogs as well. So I want to welcome Emily Freeman to Mom Talk Radio. Hi, Emily.
Hi there. I'm so glad to be here with you.
Well, we're happy to have you. So first of all, you live in North Carolina, so you have dried out, I hope, and didn't get too wet in the storms.
We finally see the sun today. It's been many, many days.
Yeah, I spent 4 days in South Carolina, so I know what it was like to finally see the sun. So, so tell me a little bit about your book, Simply Tuesday. What's it about?
So this book is really for the person who feels like their soul is being held hostage by hustle. And for me, I have lived that off and on throughout my whole life. I think a lot of us can relate to just not just feeling like you've got a lot going on the outside with our schedule. I think a lot of us can relate to that. But there's also a level that we feel like almost like it's happening on the inside as well, that the hustle and bustle of the outside has sort of seeped its way into our bones and into the level of our soul, to where when we do have a minute alone or we do have a minute to think or to pray or to consider, it's like we can't sit still. And so this book is really an invitation for all of us to sort of enter into a small moment living, even in the midst of our fast-moving world. And one way I hope to invite readers to do that is to really to look at the Tuesdays of our lives, which is why it's Simply Tuesday, because I think it's the Tuesdays of our lives where we see what really matters, where we see our life as it is, maybe not as we wish it was, but as it is and where we are within it. And it's when we begin to settle into those Tuesday kind of moments, the regular washing the dishes, seeing the people who live in our house, the work we do every day. That's when I feel like, when I really embrace those moments, that my soul can really begin to settle down on the inside and take a breath.
Yeah, I see what you say. Isn't it amazing? Like, Tuesdays always seem like, yeah, you're a little bit more calm than you are on a Monday. So on the cover of your book, there's actually a bench. And what's the story behind that?
So we live in a cul-de-sac, two doors down from my husband's brother and his wife and their kids. And in the middle of our cul-de-sac is a little grassy area where we put a couple of benches, because we found ourselves spending a ton of time outside when our kids were little, even smaller, especially they played. And so we have these benches outside. One day I noticed a few of our neighbors went out there and they sat out for over an hour. And our neighbors are probably upwards of in their upper 80s. So they really, we'd never really seen them standing outside for more than 5 minutes or so getting mail. But now that we had benches in the cul-de-sac, they were able to sit out there for an hour, hour and a half. And I thought it was so interesting one day as I was making dinner and I saw them out there for over an hour talking to one another. I thought, you know, those benches did not give those women something to talk about. What the benches did was it gave them a place to be, a place to gather on an ordinary day, like a Tuesday, to sort of enter into a conversation that they already wanted to have. And so that bench for me, the actual bench in my cul-de-sac, sort of became a grounding metaphor for where in my work, in my family, in my own soul, in my plans for the future, where can I begin to build a bench that might not be there, rather than constantly trying to build my life and get to the next thing. All those places where I'm trying to build a ladder, mm-hmm. in order to sort of make it to the next thing, which I think is what causes us to feel hustle on the inside. How can I maybe begin to tear that ladder apart and use the wood to build a bench?
So, and that makes a lot of sense. But isn't there some people who just thrive on the energy of chaos? I mean, what about those people?
You know, I think there is. I think I do in some ways. But there is a difference between hustle, getting things done, having a lot going on the outside, and that happening on the inside. I think that no one thrives on feeling on the inside like they're overwhelmed and becoming undone. Because I think that's when it begins to keep us up at night. That's when we'll lose sleep. We have our headaches. We can't focus. We have a hard time making a decision. And so not to confuse just sort of a go-getter with having that go-gettedness define who we are on the inside. That's sort of the distinction.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you invite your readers to celebrate smallness. What is smallness and why is it worthy of celebrating?
Well, it's a great question. I had a mentor invite me to celebrate my smallness several years ago when I was sort of in this place of, I felt small. I felt small. I felt like I had some life, big life decisions to make. John, my husband John, was making some really big vocational changes. And as his wife, that was overwhelming to me. I had a daughter who was struggling through some anxiety, and I didn't really have answers for her. That was overwhelming to me. I felt very small. And to me, small at that time was a negative thing. It was like something I wanted to run from. But when he invited me to celebrate my smallness, for me, at the time, I was like, well, that's terrible advice. Who wants to do that? But there was also this part of me deep inside that felt a sense of relief, because I thought, man, if celebrating my smallness can bring any kind of relief or space on the inside, that's something I want to practice. And so I began to notice in my life those places where I felt small in a bad way, but there's also a lot of times when I feel small in a good way. For example, standing on the edge of an ocean, standing at the top of a mountain, looking up at the night sky and seeing the stars and the moon. There's a lot of times in our lives when we feel small, but it's a good kind of small, and it's one that I wouldn't want to run from.
Yeah, absolutely. And I almost think that when you and celebrate those things, you're embracing them and you're owning it. And even if it's something that's challenging, I always feel like if you own it, then it's so much easier to manage, because you're just like, okay, this is going to, you know, be difficult, but I'm owning it and I'm going to make it through, you know, and somehow it empowers you to do that. It's a really great book with some strong messages, and I'm hoping that our readers will pick it up. You can go to Emily's website at emilypfriedman.com to find out more about the book. We also have a link on Mom Talk Radio. Emily, thank you so much for being with us and sharing some of your time on Mom Talk Radio.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, have a great day and good luck with the book. When we return, we're going to put a spotlight on one mom who's doing some really interesting things in the world of travel. She's going to be answering some of your questions about perhaps cruising this winter with your family.
This encore broadcast of Mom Talk Radio originally aired October 11th, 2015.
So if you've ever thought about taking a cruise, we have one mom who is going to just give you a plethora of information on that. And this is actually a pretty good time to look into cruises because it's the off season. Her name is Dana Vento and she has three children. You can find her online at danavento.com. It's V-E-N-T-O is her last name. And I want to welcome her to Mom Talk Radio. Hi, Dana.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today.
Well, thank you for being here. So there are some people who have always wondered, what is it like to take a family on a cruise? And you have a lot of experience in that.
Yeah, we do. We love taking our family on a cruise because I think the hardest thing to do is to find something to make those teens, tweens, and kids smile. And when it comes to a vacation, everybody wants to be smiling, and the cruise will bring out the kid in everybody. So that's what we have found over the years.
So tell me a little bit about what they offer and the different age groups and just family time and maybe alone time for mom and dad.
Okay, so we look at travel as an education, and we have to decide when we're going to take the kids out of school. So we look at their schedules, and we say, wow, we've got some great time in January. There's a couple 3-day weekends. And then we look at all of the different cruise lines, because all of the cruise lines out there offer different packages, 3-day, 5-day, 7. There's something for everybody, and you know where they're going. They're going somewhere tropical. We're getting out of the gloom and into the sun, and to me, that is so important because, again, that helps with that smiling factor. So we have to choose the destinations. And once we choose our destinations, all I keep thinking about is the once and done prophecy. And I'm sure you're familiar with that. The once unpacked, you're done, and it's a great feeling.
So
we unpack and those kids are all set for the trip. And I never have to worry about that again. It becomes a calming factor to me to know that we know where everything is and we're going to visit a few destinations, but we don't have to unpack. Our transportation and our fun is about to unfold on the cruise ship. And when we're on there, the cruise ship itself is just an amazing place to adventure through for the day. But it's great for couples and couple time. You're going to get one chance on that cruise ship to spend time with your partner. And there are multiple clubs on all of the different ships for all of the different age groups, such as the 18-month to 5-year-olds, the 6 to 11, the 12 to 18. They break them out and put them in their groups. And inside of those groups, there's activities, there's entertainment, there's eating, there's just time for the kids to bond. And what I really like, and my kids have experienced and come out with so many stories, is that they learn about others' lives, how they live, what it's like somewhere else. So they're interfacing, interacting, and you know what they're not doing is playing on their mobile phones and playing with social media. They're actually very focused. It's a great family time. As far as that goes, my husband and I get to spend a little bit of time together without the kids tugging on our legs, without the kids interrupting. We get to watch the moonlight on the ocean. We get to walk onto the decks. We get to enjoy a drink together. It's time away while we're still all together, and we know that those kids are safe.
Do you ever feel like you're just a hostage at sea? Like, that's my thing, is I'm just afraid of, like, I'm on a ship. Am I going to run out of things to do?
I don't think there is a possible way to run out of things to do unless you stay in your room and never get out of there. There is so much to do, from the entertainment to the shows to the offshore excursions. The ports of call where the offshore excursions occur are really fun. We have done the different Jeep excursions. We've done cave tubing, personal tours. We've done snorkeling. And we've been in multi-generational situations where we've had our 75-year-old father-in-law with us, and then, you know, as young as our 9-year-old or 10-year-old. So we've been all over the board with what activities we can and can't do, but you never run out, whether you're on the Lido deck dancing in one of the dance lines or you're in a buffet line. You meet right. people. You talk to people. It's just unending.
So let me ask you this. We only have a minute and a half left. How do you find the deals?
I take a look at all the different websites out there, but I actually just go right to the cruise lines themselves, because you'll find some of the best deals right there. And sometimes waiting at the last minute is the best way to snag them up.
That's what I've heard. Sometimes at the last minute, they have extra rooms that they just want to fill.
Right. So last minute can be really good.
I want to point everybody in the direction of your website, because I know you have lots of good information there. It's danavento.com, and we have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio as well. And very good stuff. And I hope that that you enjoy your next cruise. Quickly, where are you going on your next cruise?
Right now, we're looking at the Eastern Caribbean. So that's where we are currently planning to go to.
Wow. Well, that sounds nice, warm, and very relaxing. So thank you so much for sharing some of your insight with us today on Mom Talk Radio. And have a great cruise with your children. And don't forget, we have a link to danavento.com on Mom Talk Radio. When we return, we're going to be speaking with the author of Creating a Beautiful Mess, 10 Essential Play Experiences for a Joyous Childhood.
This encore broadcast of Mom Talk Radio originally aired October 11th, 2015.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
You know, we often think about the value of play, but we don't often know the best play experiences for our children. So we have sought out the author of a new book, Creating a Beautiful Mess, 10 Essential Play Experiences for a Joyous Childhood. The author is Ann Gadzikowski, and she has more than 25 years of experience working in the field of early childhood education as a teacher and a school administrator. And we are so delighted to have her with us today on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Ann, to Mom Talk.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be speaking with you.
Tell us a little bit about how you define a beautiful mess.
Well, the book is named Creating a Beautiful Mess, because it's named after one of the chapters in the book. The book is organized into 10 chapters for 10 essential play experiences, and chapter 6 is called Creating a Beautiful Mess, and that's the chapter about play with clay and finger paints and sand and mud pies and all kinds of, you know, ooey gooey messy play that's so important for really young children to experiment with. But when we thought about what to title the book, we realized that all play is beautiful and messy usually in one way or another, so it seemed to make a lot of sense to name the book Creating a Beautiful Mess.
I don't know. I've been doing a lot of research on millennial moms lately, and one of the things that seems to be a little bit different than like the boomers is the way that they play with their children. Do you think the way that we play with our children overall has changed generation to generation?
I think essentially it has not. And that's one of the primary messages of my book, is that children are still children and play is still play. And children have an innate desire to play and will play no matter what toys we give them. You know, there are certain universal behaviors of play, like pretending, that all children enjoy and want to do. And the purpose of the book for me is reminding parents about these essential play experiences. And I was motivated to write the book because in my work with families, I get a lot of questions about concerns about technology. And parents are noticing their children are spending more and more time playing computer games, even with really young children, with touch screens. Very young children can be playing computer games and interacting. And they're wondering, is play different? And what is my child missing out on? So the book is really a reminder of these very universal play experiences that help children grow, that grow their bodies and their minds and their spirits and their creativity. And how parents can enjoy playing with their children reminds them of the ways that we can enjoy playing with their children.
So you mentioned there's universal play. Let's talk about blocks. It seems like just building with blocks is something that everyone's done for the last 200 years as far as toys and play. Are there better blocks than other blocks, or are just building in general a good play?
Yeah, all kinds of construction play is fun and important. Children actually play with blocks less now than they used to, certainly in school and group settings. So when I started in early childhood education 25, 30 years ago, when I was doing my student teaching in the kindergarten classroom where I taught, or in the school where I taught, every kindergarten classroom had a block corner. And many of the first grade classrooms did too. And now, if you walk into a kindergarten classroom, it's very unusual that you would see a block corner. You may still see that in preschool if you're lucky, but it's not as accepted as a learning activity as it used to be. So children's primary experiences with blocks now are at home. So I do encourage parents to get a good set of wooden blocks when their children are young, because it's a toy that's going to grow with the child. As they get older and as their brains grow, they'll get more ideas and they'll use blocks in different ways. And there's so much important math and science that comes with block play, whether you're teaching it directly or they're just experiencing it in a free play situation, that it's a really important experience. So we need to hold on to some of those core experiences that are maybe be familiar to us as adults, but young children are not getting as many experiences doing those things.
What about good old fashioned coloring and coloring books? Is it the same when you're coloring on an iPad rather than coloring holding the crayon in your hand?
Yeah, I think there is a different sensory experience, and you're using your brain in a different way. And children certainly need to move. And one of the points that I continually make in that book is that children enjoy moving. They enjoy being outdoors. I have yet to meet a child that didn't like to go outside and see what was happening outdoors. So I think sometimes we get so worried, are children playing outside enough? We're worried about children's nutrition, that we put too much pressure on ourselves and on the children to play a certain way or do certain things. But children enjoy moving and touching things. They may be drawn to tablets because it's the next big thing or because it's colorful and bright and makes a noise. But children do still enjoy interacting with actual items like crayons and paper.
Well, I know that you have a great deal of information on your website. Again, the book is called, or is titled, Creating a Beautiful Mess, 10 Essential Play Experiences for a Joyous Childhood. Your website, Anne, could you let everyone know what the website is?
Yeah, my website is my name, my author website. It's annegadzikowski.com, and that's spelled ANNGADZIKOWSKI.com. And I'll also mention the publisher of the book is Red Leaf Press. So if you don't remember my name, you can remember Red Leaf, and redleafpress.org is the name of the publishing company.
Well, thank you so much for being with us and sharing some of your time today on Mom Talk Radio. I appreciate it, and good luck with the book. When we return, we're going to hear from an amazing woman who started a company that we all know and love, Boogie Wipes, and the turn that took her life from a crisis into a new beginning.
This encore broadcast of Mom Talk Radio originally aired October 11th, 2015.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
I am super excited. Yes, super excited to have our next guest because she's a very longtime friend and an inspiration to any mom who has ever started a business. You probably have used her product before, Boogie Wipes. And I met her many years ago when she had founded the company with her partner. Today, though, she's taken her talents and put them into a book called Boogie Wiped, The Story of My Mom Life Crisis. And she's also consulting through her new company, Juicebox Consulting. She's helped over 300, and I think that is very conservative, mompreneurs in their business through joys and tribulations. And she's here to share some of her story with us today. So welcome, Mindy, to Mom Talk Radio.
Hello, Maria. Thank you for having me.
So, like, God, where do we even start? There's so many questions I could ask. So I want to get as much out of you as possible in the next 7 minutes. So if you are a mom and you're out there struggling to make a business work, what's the do's and the don'ts? What worked for you? What didn't? And what are the lessons you learned?
Oh, thank you. That is a big question. You know, I think one of the first things in those very early stages for moms with ideas is really to just sit down and ask yourself, you know, why are you running into the business? So do you truly have an idea that you feel is ready and worthy? Were you planning to go out and get a job, you know, anyways? Is it truly something? That's what my book is about, is that I actually ran into all of my work more as a distraction to motherhood. And that was what truly led me into both in my business and in mothering. Into my mom life crisis, as I call it. But the beautiful thing is that through my consulting and through walking through so many of the stories and now, you know, still working myself, I see so many ways that it truly can become a lifestyle that enriches your life. And I see some moms that are doing it so well, taking their ideas, their inventions or their services or their skills, and really turn them into something that is generating profit for their family and is also doing it in a way that allows them to first wear their mother hat every day and really feel good about the balance. And I think the number one thing in all of it is not to be in such a rush, which is hard when you're an inventor, because so many of them specifically, you know, moms are inventing products and they feel like I have to rush to market with it and right. They spend all this money and they want to go on Shark Tank and do a crowdfunding and get a patent and that rushed feeling is what makes you rush through those moments of mothering as well. And anything done in, you know, desperation and hurry really isn't done well. So I think the biggest thing when they're starting out is really just to slow down, set up a work-life system that truly separates the two. I was not good at that, at Boogie Wipes. I was trying to, like, do it all at once and bring the kids to the office with me and run over here and work at my kitchen counter and work in bed and work in the morning at 2 a.m. And it was just, like, this big, huge roll of, you know, guilt from one moment to the next. So planning really well for making sure that you can, you know, stay present where you're at and do a good job with it, and then not being in a big rush. Just take it one moment at a time and reach out for some help and know that it's a lifestyle.
I think that you just hit upon something that probably was my learning lesson too, and that is to be present with your children, particularly when you're running a business. And by being present, you know, it doesn't mean that you're just in the house when they get home after school, but I actually had to train myself to look in the whites of their eyes when I was talking to them, because it's so easy to be texting or answering an email going, yeah, 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 and you never even look at them. And it's almost like a mindless response on your part.
Right. And how much do we like it when we're talking to someone and they don't look at us? You know, the things that we feel as adults, kids feel just as much. And there's something so powerful, you know, and I've watched this through your journey as well. And the moms that I've seen it work successfully for is that they are present and they're not, you know, they're looking, they're listening, but they're also following up. You know, how good do we feel when our husband comes to us and says, how did that meeting go? Or a friend says, hey, what happened with this? And, you know, and that's the same thing with your kids. When you can stop and listen and be present, it's not that it takes, you know, 24 hours of your day all day. It's that when you do have an hour or two with them that you're talking, you're asking, you're engaging, and then you're processing, okay, I need to follow up later this week and find out, you know, how their math test went, or if they got that new seat in class, or, you know, how Jimmy's doing on this, or whatever it is, whatever stage they're at, because that's really powerful for them when you check back in, because it really shows them that you're thinking for them and you're worrying about them and you're wondering, and then they want to come to you again for that support. So that presence is so, so important, and it took me a while to get it, and I think I'm there, but, you know, my oldest is 13, so I'm still learning as I go, too.
Well, and I think you're right. Like, nothing drives me crazy about myself is when my daughter says to me, yeah, Mom, I told you that last week, and I'm like, ugh, you know, like,
yes.
It's almost like when you catch yourself in that moment where you're just like, oh, doggone it,
yeah.
I didn't check in before I did that. So where can a mom go? Like, what services can she find through Juicebox Consulting?
Initially, I just do a very basic. I don't require a lot of investment. I do a one-hour consulting, and it comes with just some follow-up, and it's $75 an hour. But with that, we'll go through, okay, here's what I think about your idea. I actually have a group of about 300 moms, and I could submit concepts to, and they will evaluate it for me and give me really honest feedback, because there's nothing quite like, you know, when you go ask grandma, will you buy this product? It's a lot different than really putting it in front of somebody and getting input on it that's anonymous. So I can do that, and then I can say, okay, here's where I think you should go for manufacturing or marketing or PR, or what some of your next steps are. I do have some long-term packages where we can check in every couple of weeks and see how things are going, but that really kind of comes and goes with the clients that I've had over the years. So some of them come back for more. Some of them come and go in phases, and we just do an hour here and there. There's a lot of information on my website, which is juiceboxconsulting.com. I do attempt to blog on there about once a month or so on topics like UPC codes and, you know, the marketing mix, and a little bit on work-life balance and some tips that work around my home, things of that sort. And then my book also has some really good advice for things like business partnerships, investments, where your money is coming from and how you spend it, relationships in the mix. So not only with your husband and your kids, but also with employees and other women that you're working with in the industry. I actually have a support group as well that has about 60 of my clients in it right now, and they are constantly on there. As soon as you work with me, you get access to that, and they are constantly, even I'm not in it, and they're just asking each other questions.
A lot of really, really, really great resources. So check it out, juiceboxconsulting.com. Mindy, thank you so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio, and we'll have to have you back to talk more about women in business, because it's such an important topic. When we return, more Mom Talk Radio. So, as promised, we're going to move from 4 million teenagers to 30 million words. That's the name of the book, 30 million words, Building a Child's Brain. And the author is Dr. Dana Suskin. She is the founder and director of the 30 million words initiative at the University of Chicago. She has worked in this field for many years in a lot of different ways. And I'm going to jump right in and welcome Dr. Suskin to Mom Talk Radio. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So is it are we able to increase our child's brain power when they're little?
Absolutely. I think that many people don't realize that, unlike all of our other organs, our brains come out really pretty underdeveloped. And in the first 3 years of life, it's actually parent talk, the power of parent talk, that builds a child's brain. In fact, 85% of your brain is fully formed, or the physical part, by the end of the age of three.
Wow. And so what do we do to maximize our brain? And what does moms need to do when they bring home that baby?
Absolutely. Moms have all the power and we in their talk. And we actually call it the three T's. The three T's are the way to build your baby's brain. Tune in, talk more, and take turns. Tune in to what your baby's interested in from day one. He may not have real words, but he's telling or she's telling you a lot by grimaces, by looks, by gestures. Then talk about it. Use rich language. Talk about the past and the present. And then take turns. Believe it or not, you can have a conversation with your baby from day one. They are getting ready to have a conversation. They may not be able to use real words, but start now to build your baby's brain.
Why is the third grade? You talk about third grade being significant. I know for a mom, it's when homework starts, but why is it significant in your eyes?
Well, third grade, you know, everything is building up, you know, your child's ability. And people often look at third grade as the time when you go from learning to read to reading to learn. So you're trying to learn how to read initially, but then what, you've got to get it down so you can learn about all the content that you need. But really, people don't realize that learning to read starts from day one. It's your language ability and the brain power that really gets your child ready to learn how to read. So I really emphasize the importance of talk even connected to reading.
And what about play? We hear a lot about structured play is good, free play is better. What about play when it comes to our children?
Well, play is one of the most powerful ways to get, you know, have bonding and get language in, from my perspective. So people always want to separate, oh, this is, you know, cognitive learning time, this is play time. Really, when you're in a 0 to 3 space, they're one and the same. And, you know, rich play is probably the best brain building time, an opportunity to use your three T's with your baby or your child.
Okay, so the all-important question, iPads have become kind of a standard.
Yeah.
And I guess just yesterday I was saying they've replaced the crayons at the table. Now moms just hand their child an iPad. Good, bad, what's the feeling there?
That's so funny. Well, I always joke, you know, we have the three T's. I always say the fourth T should be turning off the technology. But, you know, because the truth is that babies don't learn language from television. Now, at the same time, technology is here to stay. So we need to find a way to live with it while understanding what builds children's brains. And even more important than trying to get your child to turn off his or her own iPad is getting yourself to turn off your own technology. And listen, trust me, I'm not one to talk. I know it's an important thing, and sometimes I don't take my own advice. But just understanding what builds babies' brains helps us to understand why we need to limit our technology a bit.
So I know you have a lot more to talk about. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But do you have a website that folks can go to learn more about your expertise and how to build that brain?
Absolutely. It's 30millionwords.org, and you spell out 30, so T-H-I-R-T-Y, 30millionwords.org.
Right.
Check it out, but know that that every mom has the power to build their child's brain.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today, and I want to thank all of you for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. We hope you've taken away something that you can implement in your daily life as we head back to school and into the busy season of fall. I'm Maria Bailey. Can't wait to talk to you again next week right here on Mom Talk Radio.